Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Matt Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Matt Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D Factor. The Matt Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Matt.
I've got the power!
Let's do a live radio broadcast.
Good afternoon, everybody. And I mean everybody. Everywhere. Hey, gang. I'm Mac Newton. Welcome back. And this is the Power Hour. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's a beautiful Thursday afternoon in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. 90 degrees and sunny, wall to wall. My fingers pop. I can't help myself. Can't stop it. 90 degrees and sunny with more of the same coming up the rest of the week. I hate to tell you. Got a surprise for you, gang. Our musical guest host, I knew you did not guess. Vanessa Williams. The fabulous Natasha knew that because she's a big fan on Desperate Housewives, right? What's her name on Desperate Housewives, Natasha? Don't remember? Wow, okay. Lots of stuff coming at you about Vanessa Williams you're going to love to know. But we're listening to a cut that was released, oh gee whiz. This is called The Sweetest Days, and this CD was released, back in the 90s, mid-90s. I'm going to say 1994. The reviews were excellent. As a matter of fact, it went platinum in the USA. She got a couple Grammy nominations, and several of these songs were written by Babyface. This is not one, but she stepped out, did some, experimented with some Latin sounds on this. Well, I'll share some of that with you. A little rap, bebop, jazz kind of a thing. Showed her versatility. And as Natasha said, her voice is quite pleasant. Doesn't have a broad range. I mean, it's not going to set you on fire, but very listenable. And again, very, very easy to listen to. Vanessa Williams, our musical guest host. Lots coming on her. She's a very interesting person. Born in Millwood, New York. To me, it seems that so very, very young. I mean, I'm trying to get the date when she was born. I think she was only born in the 60s. Wow. Anyone born in the 60s or 70s are just real young to me. Zach, you were probably born in the 80s, weren't you?
Yes, sir.
Oh, no. You didn't have to say that. You could have lied to me. Oh, my God. Oh no, born in the 80s. Gee whiz, my hip is probably older than you.
think you said that it might be.
Oh, my Lord.
I know for sure you've got jeans older than me.
Yeah, I do. I know I got some jeans better than him, older than him. Wow. Hey, gang, welcome to the show. We have got a great, we've got to get moving because we've got so much stuff to do. We cannot be messing around. It is now exactly 3 minutes past the hour of 5 o'clock in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona. And I know it's wonderful where you are. I know it is. Great show on Chapel, you guys, today. Our musical guest host, as I said, Vanessa Williams, the great Vanessa Williams. Not only just a great actor, a singer, she is good. She's a very pleasant voice and very versatile. And I think she's a better than expected actress. Well, you know, one thing, she studied acting. She studied music. She was she's a piano player, very accomplished piano player. And she actually studied songwriting in college. And her entree into show business was that of a photographer's assistant and a makeup artist. Back in her days at Syracuse. And we all know that she was a Miss America. And here's a kind of a cool thing, is that on her birth announcement, very prophetically, her parents had the words, "And here she is, Miss America." How about that? You know? So she was born to be Miss America.
The star was born.
Yeah, she was born, and she certainly was. And certainly, I know there's a lot of controversy there. I don't have to go into it, but to me, I still always consider her Miss America. All right, here we go again. Great show on tap for you guys today. Early segment, I'm going to call it Clarification 2.0. We'll explain that. And, of course, more quantum thinking as our main topic. But first, of course, at 5 minutes after the hour, shout-outs. Our shout-out list is getting bigger and bigger and bigger all the time. Bigger all the time. I mean, hey, listen, I tell people you want to get on the list, send me an email, and people are just sending me names. Hey, Andy, out in Spain, what's happening with that? What happened with you? What's the weather like? Send me an email. Send me an update. Al, down in South FLA, I know things are going great with you. Alfredo, we got stuff coming your way down to Mexico. Kurt always stays in contact in the UK. Veronica G, always good to see your name on my Facebook page. She's in the Philippines. Wow. What a diverse audience I have. I mean, it's just so great. And, of course, Larry and Kimmy right here in the good old U.S. of A. David Z up in Michigan working out with me all the time. Give me an update, David. Let me know how you're doing. Barry, Jeff, and all the Taekwondo folks up in Chi. Heard it was snowing there yesterday. That's not right. That is wrong. You know, it's so wrong. I mean, here it is. You know, it's the 21st of April. And that's amazing in itself. I mean, it's the 21st of April. But even more amazing, it was snowing in Chicago day before yesterday. That's not right. And I guess 2 or 3 days before that, it was 85. And in Chicago, all it has to do is be 50 degrees and people are down on Oak Street Beach in their bare feet throwing frisbees around. You know, they're down there pale and white, starchy looking. It's 50 degrees, wind's blowing at 30 miles an hour, wind chill's 11, and you're throwing around frisbees. They're crazy out there.
Meanwhile, we start up our fireplaces here.
Exactly. We have to have no wood burning in effect when it's 50 degrees. Oh, my gosh. In fact, they'll be out there on Oak Street Beach, and there'll be, you know, lake debris laying up on the sand. They don't care. It's sunny, and it's 50. Take the shirts off. you know what? After the winter they've had, they're due running around in some you know, short sleeves and flip-flops. I mean, they've had snow and cold. It has been just, and it won't end. Like I said, it was just snowing there. I'm with you, Chicagoans. I am with you. I mean, in spirit. I won't be there at all. Don't expect to see me there. No, but I'm there with you in spirit. Okay. And then Gwen Hall down there in Corpus Christi. Nick and all the folks up in Denver. Yeah, give it out. Give it up. And Chris C. And, of course, Chris's son, Nick, is now a new listener. And all gets a shout out. And, of course, GA in GA. That works. Yeah, we know it does. That works. That's our shout-outs for today, gang. Wow. Our list is unbelievable. Hey, you know what, gang? I need a favor from you guys as we get into our update. First, Adam, on my update, I need a favor from you. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go on to YouTube. See, what I'm doing is because we got all those videos up on YouTube, and I didn't even know this program existed, but once we got around 20 videos, YouTube sent me an email saying that I now had my own channel called the Mac Newton Video Channel at YouTube. And because you have your own channel, now you qualify, if you meet other criteria, that where you can actually partner with YouTube, and you know they will sponsor or sell for you your own videos if you have a video program. I didn't even know anything about this. And of course, you know, we sell our online workouts off of our website. Would love to partner with YouTube and sell all of our online workouts through YouTube. That would be great. What a broader base of an audience. However, my channel is new, and I guess we don't have enough subscribers to the channel now to qualify for their program, since we've only had it for a week or less. Well, anyway, what I want you guys to do, I want you to go on to YouTube, go to Mac Newton channel, and just push the button that says subscribe. That's all you got to do. And what it'll mean for you is that every time I post new videos, they'll send you an email letting you know there's new stuff for you to view. And what it means for me, I'll hopefully sooner or later I'll qualify to be able to partner in with YouTube and get this program started. That's kind of a cool thing. So do me a favor and go over there, and I'll know when you do it because they always send me an email. Yesterday I think I mentioned it on my Facebook page, and gee whiz, I must have gotten 50 or 60 yesterday who've decided to just click and become a subscriber to the Mac Newton channel. It's kind of a cool thing. More updates. Our championship level goal setting workbook and CD program is available. We are looking at it right now. You know what? We're going to video next week. In fact, if we were videotaping, I'd be showing it to the camera right now, and I will do it again next week. But it's available now. In order to get it, just send me an email to SEVEN@MacNewton.com, and that you're interested in a championship level goal setting program with myself and a best-selling author, Blair Singer. We did this on his a call-in show over 22 countries and over 700 listeners worldwide. It's phenomenal. A workbook and voice assistant 2-CD set available. Just send in your email to me and requesting more information or requesting a copy. I'll get it out to you as soon as possible. 7@MacNewton.com. It's ready to go. It's available right now. Also, we got a segment coming up. As soon as we finish our series on quantum thinking, we've got a very interesting segment coming up with Michael Ellenby. Now, you might remember that name because he's the fellow that climbed up to Everest Base Camp about a month or so ago. And we posted all those pictures on Facebook and also posted his comments as he was making that climb. So, and we'll be able to answer the question, is he planning on climbing all the way to the summit one day? Does that interest him? I mean, that's no joke. I mean, to 29,000 feet, the highest peak on the planet. Is he planning? Does he want to do that? How long would it take? How much would it cost? Why would he want to do it? So let's find out. Those are some of the questions we're going to ask Michael Ellenby from Australia. In fact, the first person to actually summit Mount Everest was a Kiwi, you know, from New Zealand, Sir Edmund Hillary, and from Michael's neck of the woods. And so we're going to talk about all that sort of stuff with Michael upcoming soon. But here's a very interesting thing. What would you think if, Natasha, what would you think if, you know, you knew someone who just happened to be listening to the Power Hour one day? Let's say, for example, they lived in Philadelphia. And they were very interested in the show, and because of that, they logged on to the website, and they saw that we had the workout program here in Phoenix. So this 18-year-old person, let's just say they're 18, and you know, didn't have a lot of money, but really wanted to meet me and to work out with me in one class. So he saves his money. And didn't have enough for a plane ride, so he saved his money for a train ride from Philadelphia to Phoenix. Takes a train from Philadelphia to Phoenix, get off the train in Phoenix, takes a cab over here to the studio, trains for 1 hour, gets back in the cab, gets back on the plane. I mean, a train, go back to Philadelphia. I mean, what is that, like a two-day train ride? Two-and-a-half-day train ride from Philadelphia to Phoenix, maybe longer? For an hour or an hour and a half. Well, what did it mean to him? Well, within about 2 weeks, his grandmother, his 81-year-old grandmother, Hilda, calls me up and says, and she's from Central America, so she's got a little bit of an accent, and she says, my grandson, Stephen, was there with you. And I'm thinking, She said, I don't know what you did. I'm thinking, why? Wait a minute.
What have I done?
What have I done? I started to feel like I was Natasha over there getting defensive here. So, and she said, I don't know what you did, but he's like a different person. It's just wonderful to see the changes in him. It's amazing. It is now exactly 14 minutes past the hour. My name is Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. We meet every Thursday at 5 o'clock right here on my website, macnewton.com. So she wanted to thank me for what was going on. So things go, I said, well, you're very, very welcome. I'm very pleased. I'm so honored that you would call me and to know that something that I said that with your grandson, you feel had a positive effect. And that's it makes you feel good to receive a call like that. Story's not over. So I get another email from Stephen several weeks later. And he said, I'd love to come back down, but time's not good. Money's very, very tight. I don't like to fly. And, you know, things are difficult and so forth. Next thing I know, it's this is Thursday. So that would be day before yesterday. Lisa comes back and says, Stephen Wade is in the lobby. Stephen Wade from Philadelphia? Yes. Oh, he came down to do another class. And oh, by the way, he has his 81-year-old grandmother with him.
Oh, my God.
She came down to do the class. They had done the same thing again. They got on a train in Philly, took the train here to Phoenix, got in a cab, came over here, did our class, got back in a cab, went to the train station, back to Philly.
Oh, my God. I have a solution for them. Why don't they take classes online?
That's very, very true. But they wanted to get the full effect of being here and talking to me face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball, so to speak, and sitting here right where you guys are sitting and talking with me, talking to her grandson, and giving him the same kind of advice I did the first time. And not only that, but she got a workout. She did a similar workout as we did in level 1.0 online. This 81-year-old did it. She worked out with the class. Her workout was in a chair. She did the whole thing sitting down. She worked hard. She did every last bit of it. In some ways, she did better than Stephen, and she did a lot better than he did the first time. She's 81 years old, just as energetic as you can imagine. It was phenomenal. I was just inspired beyond belief. And when Lisa was, and I knew something was going on, she said, Stephen's out there. And she kept looking at me. He's got his 81-year-old grandmother with him. She wanted to come with and work out, meet me, and see what it was all about. Now, here's the final thing. As she gave me a hug, and they were getting ready to leave, she whispers in my ear. She says, I thank God for you and the things that you've done for my grandson. Thank you so much. I'll tell you, brought tears to my eyes, round spot. I thought, how blessed am I to be able to use what was lemons in my life to turn that into lemonade and then share it with the world. How blessed am I? I know everyone doesn't get it. I know that there are people that are, you know, that look at me and say, oh, you know, he just likes to get attention. He wants to draw attention to himself. He wants to do that. You know, they don't get it, and they don't get me. These are people who don't know me or they haven't been here. They don't know what I'm all about. They don't understand my purpose. Yes, I draw attention to things so that I want more people to get out of life what I've experienced. If people know me, they would really see that there's not a selfish bone in my body, that I would literally give away the last of what I had if I felt it would make someone else's life better. And I've done that literally. So I feel blessed being able to do what I do. And hopefully we'll be able to get Stephen and Hilda, his grandmother, on the show one day. We'll get them on the phone from Philly. In fact, we'll get that. We'll make that happen right now. In fact, you know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to get on the phone here right now and see if Lisa can get them on the phone for me right now. You think it's a good idea, Natasha?
I think that's fabulous.
I mean, why not?
What's the difference in time?
It doesn't matter. We're going to call them up right now. I mean, it's, you know, we're going to get them on the phone here right now. I'm going to get on the phone right now for Lisa. Let's get Lisa on the phone.
Well, the story was incredible.
Yeah, it was. It's like truth. Truth is always stranger than fiction. Should we get Lisa on the phone here?
It sounds great.
Okay. Yes. Lisa, you want to do me a favor? You want to see if you can get Stephen Wade and his grandmother on the phone for me right now, please?
Yes, I will do that.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay. All righty. We'll see if we can get that done, gang. We'll see if we can make that happen right here live on the show. Wasn't planned. This show is crammed, just jam-packed, but I think that would be a great thing. Wouldn't that be terrific?
Yeah, I'm excited. And Lisa is a magic woman. She'll make it happen.
I tell you, we got the magic man. We got Lisa there making it happen right now. All right, gang, that's our updates for this week. We got segments upcoming with Michael Ellenbeek upcoming. And hopefully we'll get Stephen Wade and his 81-year-old grandmother Hilda on the phone right now. If not, we will make special efforts to get them on the phone as soon as possible. You know what I want to do? All these people who are shout-outs, I want to see if we can get all of you guys. Send me an email, everyone that's on my shout-out list, and tell me when I can get each one of you on the show here, the Power Hour Live. I want to know why each one of you guys listen to the show, what you get from it, and so forth. Okay? Everyone, Andy, Al, Alfredo, Kurt, Veronica G, Larry, Kimmy, David Z, Barry. I want all you guys. Gwen Hall's already been on the show. Nick's already been on the show. I want Chris, Nick. I want all you guys, GA down in GA. I want all you guys to communicate with me by email, 7@macnewton.com, and let's get a schedule you for like a 10-minute update right here on the Power. Is that a good idea, Natasha? I think let's let everybody else get to know all my shout-out folks the way I know them. Okay, there you go. Perfect. Okay, let's get to my early segment, which I call Clarification 2.0. When I'm talking about clarification, there are two factors to consider that must be absolutely clear when it comes to setting goals. And especially if we're going to use this entire process of quantum thinking to accelerate our entire process of bringing those goals into reality. There are two factors to consider. Commitment is number one, and completion is the other. Making a firm commitment means never making excuses. Let me say that again. Making a firm commitment to your goal means never making excuses. I mean ever, for any reason. Now, I don't want you to explain the situation, because to me, explanations are very, very close to excuses. Okay, Lisa, hang on. You couldn't get them? Couldn't reach them?
No, I could not.
Oh, okay. Did you leave a message or something?
I did.
Good. Leave them. Okay, fine. Well, we made an attempt, but we will get them on. We will get them on. Maybe it's a good thing we'll get them on, and our whole program, they'll be shot. But anyway, I think it's a good idea, and you can tell I'm spontaneous, like to do stuff, and we'll get them on, because that was a great story. Is that a great story?
That's fascinating.
It's a fascinating story. It's a great story.
Fascinating.
I mean, just the first part of it. You know, Stephen coming here by himself to 18 years old, you know, on a train.
Remarkable.
Yeah, on himself, you know, saves his money up. Then he goes back, saves his money again, gets on the train, takes, brings grandmother with.
What a smart move. Oh. I mean, what a smart guy.
Yeah, well, he's going to be a great success. He's going to be a huge success in life. Now, he's had some very difficult obstacles in his path already in his young life. But he is searching for a way, and that's why he's hunting me down. He's looking for a solution. He's looking, I guess it's one of the steps in goal setting, is figure out the people who can help you achieve your goal. And he has identified me as one of the people who can help him get to where he wants to be. And he wants to maximize that. All
right. Right move, Steven.
Very good move, Steve. Okay. As I was saying, making a firm commitment means never making excuses, and that is ever. Great people, successful people, have clear, focused commitments and refuse to budge from them, no matter what. No matter what. Let me say it again. Great people, successful men and women have very clear, very focused commitments, and they refuse to budge from them ever, no matter what. Now, completion, that's part number two. This is the second factor of clarity. Completion is the second factor to successful goal setting. Some people work hard to 90 or 95 or sometimes 98% of the job completion, and then they slack off. Or maybe they just stop altogether, seeing that they've gotten most of the job completed. Nothing happens unless you finish. You get zero for 98%. You get zero for 95%. You get nothing. There's two areas of clarity, two things you must be very clear on. One is your commitment, your focused, clear commitment to the goal and refuse to budge from them. Let there be no mistake there. The second, understand this very clearly, people, very clearly, is that you must take your goal to completion. A lot of people feel that if they start it and take it down the road a bit, then that's good enough. You must bring this to a successful conclusion. You must finish this job and bring it home. Those are the two factors. Now, as we continue on, and as I said, as you begin to gain control, and you will, as you start to understand what I'm talking about and when it comes to quantum thinking, quantum mechanics, as you begin to gain control and mastery over your thinking, you'll start feeling a growing power starting from inside of you, very silent but very strong inside of you as it grows. Instead of having doubt and uncertainty, you'll find that that doubt and uncertainty and that fear being slowly overcome by this growing feeling of control and mastery over your thinking. You'll feel composed under pressure. You'll feel calm as stress builds. You'll feel something different than ever before. You'll feel almost that this, the completion of it, is a certainty. Now you'll know very, very clearly that your thinking is changing. You'll be able to feel it. You'll feel composed and calm with a confidence that will command respect from those around you. People will be looking and responding to you differently just based from the way you think. Simple as that. All of this comes from you controlling your thinking. All of this comes from you understanding the steps that we've gone over involving quantum thinking and quantum mechanics. Now, step by step, your inner power begins to unfold and it shows itself to the world. And now you're no longer walking in darkness. You have a clear path. Clarity is now become a part of your world. You see things very, very clear, extremely clear. Now, gang, it is exactly now 28 minutes past the hour. Time for a little bit more of an update, more information on our musical guest host today. The very unique, and I don't think well understood, Vanessa Williams. Because for a long time, I think that she was thought of just as a beauty pageant contestant. But now, as she gets into her mature years, people see more of her as an actress, as a writer, as a composer, as a songwriter, as a singer. And when you start to think, I mean, you're going to be amazed that she's had, oh my gosh, she released her debut album called The Right Stuff in 1988. Okay, in 1988. And she has received 15 Grammy Award nominations. I mean, who would have thought that? I mean, she has sung in Atlantic City at the Tropicana to sold out crowds. I mean, she is just amazing. I mean, very, very talented lady, very talented. We're listening to some cuts from the album and from 1994 called The Sweetest Days, and this one is simply called Betcha Never. Betcha Never. Let's check it out for just a minute. Turn it up there, Magic Man.
That I know I can't deny, but what if it's intentional? The intention of your crimes, I know how much that I can take.
For this album, it went platinum in the USA, and she earned 2 Grammy Award nominations. And this particular song was written and produced by Babyface. Yes, I love this line right here. All she got was lies.
Ooh.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Talk to him, Vanessa. That'll teach you. Hey, again, you guys stay right where you are. Mac Newton, the Magic Man, is behind the glass. The fabulous Natasha is over there swaying with the music right now, looking fabulous as ever. And her fabulous hot pink top is awesome, looking terrific. You guys stay right there. We'll be right back right after these words.
This is Zach Geist, also known as the Magic Man. The Power Hour is brought to you by Newton Fitness Online, the same high conditioning and training that Mac Newton provides in his beautiful Central Phoenix, Arizona location is now available to you online, 24 hours a day. It couldn't be easier. Just log on to MacNewton.com and go to Mac's gym. Yep, his gym is online now. Just go and select your fitness level and go to class. Okay, don't put it off. Go to MacNewton.com now, check it out, and get in the best shape of your life.
Sweet, lovely lady, be good. Oh, lady, be good to me.
That's tight. Our musical guest host, the entertainer Vanessa Williams. More from her Sweetest Days album, her third album, by the way. Very, very favorably reviewed. She's singing a tribute to Ella Fitzgerald, if you hadn't figured that out. Yeah, and doing it very well, I might say.
Song Elemental.
Elemental. Yeah, but she's bringing a little rap into it. Yes. Woo!
She's elemental to you. She spoke her mind.
Gotta like that game. I guess I've given you an entirely new impression of Miss Vanessa Williams. As you said, this is called Elemento. She's sampling the styles of music that include jazz, hip-hop, rock. And as you heard earlier, Bet You Can't is Latin-themed. And we've got another we're going to share with you on that before we end up today. But I also want to recommend one of her Christmas albums, Star Bright, which she introduced, which she released in 1966. Oh, I'm sorry, 1996.
She's elevated.
I was around in 66. Zach wasn't. And neither was Natasha. Well, I was all by myself. Okay, I was the only one on the planet. Okay, gang. Welcome back. Oh, it is now exactly 27 minutes before the hour of 6. A beautiful Thursday afternoon in Phoenix, Arizona. Okay, let's get back into the Power Hour. You guys, I'm not sure what kind of luck you're going to find when you run out and try to buy this Sweetest Days album, because it goes back to 1994 out of print, obviously. But, you know, you might be able to find it maybe at iTunes or something like that. You know what?
Amazon.com.
Maybe you can try that. And you know what? You might want to even try some of your local pawn shops, or some of your more innovative, off the beaten track record stores, where they still maybe even carry some, you know, vinyl discs and things like that, where they have extensive collections of. In this particular album would fall into several genres. I consider it R&B, which would be called smooth jazz today. So you might find that in smooth jazz. You might even find it in some circles in jazz, because it's certainly jazzier than a lot of things that even we played here on the Power Hour that we call jazz. But technically, I would call it contemporary R&B. You want to know my opinion, contemporary R&B, but you might want to check under certain labels to find this. It's called Sweetest Days by Vanessa Williams. Okay, terrific. Our main topic today, more on quantum thinking. Now, I know we've got Nick, who's new. I'm not sure Nick is new, but he communicated with me via email this week, and certainly I want to acknowledge his communication. And let me adjust my mic here just to focus a little bit. Folks, there we go. Sorry for the disruption. And and Nick is a young man just getting started out and understanding some of these things. But let me just, so I'm going to direct this first couple of paragraphs directly to Nick. Okay, Nick Cabrera. Nick, right now, at this very moment, and maybe I can include Steve in that too. Let me include Steve and Nick in this conversation. I'm talking to these two young fellas. Right now, fellas, you guys are capable of a quantum leap. In other words, not just a sequential step, but an exponential improvement in your performance in one area of your life or another. One thing, and the only thing that's keeping you from doing it is your thinking. Hear me out on this. When you're ready to make a quantum leap, in other words, you've got the experience, you've learned certain things, and if you don't make the quantum leap, you actually slide backwards. Now, think about this. Go back in your background, Zach, and think, and see if you can figure this out. There have been times when you've done stuff. Maybe it was a musical instrument. Maybe you were learning something, and you thought you had been practicing, getting better, and all of a sudden, you stopped getting better. And you start sliding backwards, or at least you stopped improving. You kind of felt like you were stuck in a rut. You know what that is? See, you were ready for a quantum leap at that moment, and you didn't take it because you didn't even know what it was. You didn't know how to do it. You didn't know how to go from point C to point L in one move. You didn't know how to make it. And so by virtue of the fact that you didn't make it and your body was ready for it, it just slid backwards. And sometimes you may have even stopped or quit doing it, or at least maybe thought less of your abilities to become as good as you could have been. Have you ever felt that in your career so far?
Definitely. Some things come to mind.
Yeah. I bet you most people can think of that. Because, yeah, you know, I was working hard, and I thought I should have been getting better, but I wasn't. And so people feel, well, I plateaued out. That's how they explain it to themselves. I plateaued out. Or some people may have thought they burned themselves out. Because when you just keep doing the same old thing with just more effort, that is what happens. You suffer burnout. So you're ready. Rather than just turning up the heat and just working harder, that's why step number one is quit trying harder.
Now it's time to make a quantum leap. Now it's time to go and skip several steps. But we got to know how to do that. You don't have to be content with just improving things incrementally or gradually. You know, you can leverage up your rate of accomplishment. And you know what? Here's the deal. When you make a quantum leap, it's this whole formula requires far less effort than what you're doing to even maintain the level of performance that you're maintaining right now. So to go to a quantum leap actually requires less effort than you would normally even expend to stay where you are. So the time has come to change all that. The time is now. I want you to figure out in what area of your life are you ready to make that quantum leap. Stephen, Chris, Nick, what area are you ready to make that quantum leap in? What area do you have the experience? What area have you done the research? What area where you've talked to all the people and you've learned all the things that you need to know? And now, it's time for the move. Now it's time for that three-letter paragraph, act. Now it's time for action. Positive thinking is great, but all the positive thinking in the world doesn't take the place of purposeful action. Now it's time to move, okay? It's time to move. So as I said, number one was quit trying harder. Remember, Natasha, I'm sure you got it there in your notes. Number one was simply quit trying harder. It's because most people operate from a mindset that just assumes success comes one step at a time. And we have to move systematically from one level to the next. That's what people think. It doesn't have to work that way. That is a very unfortunate misconception, gradual progress. But it's clearly reflected in the way people think. In my classes, when I work out people hard and I control the intensity of their workout and I know they're ready for a quantum leap, see, I can control that. But when I'm ready for that to take them from where they are to another point several steps ahead, I get a lot of resistance for them because their thinking thinks that they're only ready for a sequential step. Are you with me on that now? A sequential step. And so I want them to move several steps ahead. But their mind is going, but I can't. I'm not familiar with that. No. See, isn't that not familiar? That's just your habitual thinking showing up with all that mental junk floating around that you borrowed from magazines and newspaper articles and TV shows telling you how your life is supposed to go and how progress is supposed to be made. No. Your life simply doesn't have to operate that way. You can make the quantum leap. Instead of accepting the present circumstances, we can go for an explosive leap to a level much higher than where you are. Okay? And it starts with number one on our list of just quit trying harder. Quit trying harder. Number two, adopt risky behavior. Am I correct over there on that, Natasha?
Yes.
Number two is adopt risky behavior. Number three, Natasha, was?
Challenge logic.
Challenge logic. Challenge logic. Because, see, here's the thing. When I'm telling people to challenge logic, and especially when I tell them to make their move before they're ready, like I'm going to tell you today. I'm not going to tell you what number that is, but I'm going to get to in just a moment. Make your move before you're ready. You're telling me, Mac, you're telling me to be reckless. You're telling me to just go firing off somewhere. You know, like the old ready, fire, aim. No, not at all. Nothing reckless about this. Because if we go back to where I told you to quit trying harder, I discussed three steps with you to inspire quantum thinking. Who remembers what they were? Three steps. Number one, I told you to think through all the possibilities. This inspires quantum thinking. Think through all the possibilities and work at the solution to your problem. Number two, Research, research, research. Find out everything you can about it. Talk to others. Learn all new information. And then finally, expect a breakthrough. Ask for an answer. Ask the universe for an answer. Expect a breakthrough. And you're going to get it. Because your intuitive right brain is going to reorganize all this information that we've discussed here, and it's going to give you a flash of inspiration. It's going to give you a flash of insight that will suddenly arrive out of the blue, and it will be a simple answer. It will be clear, and it will be elegant, and it will be absolutely right in every detail. Now, there's an element of hip shooting going on, but there's no recklessness. There's no wild abandonment. Okay? So let's not get carried away. Number two, as we said, challenge logic. Okay.
Number three.
Number two is challenge logic. Oh, I'm sorry. Number three is challenge. Thank you, dear. Is challenge logic. We need to have a combination of linear left brain thinking, you know, with words and numbers, and intuitive, gut instinctive right brain thinking, working together in a bilateral sense to bring about really, really useful solutions. Because a quantum leap requires paradoxical moves. Now, for those of you who may not know what that word means, paradoxical means that instead of going straight on, we're going to take a slant. We're going to come in from an angle. From the word paradox, a different angle, a different move. Okay, that's what a quantum leap requires. Unusual behavior. A ricochet. The first illogical step is to assume that nothing you've been taught is true. So I want you to retest the logic of all your assumptions, especially when it comes to making a quantum leap. All right, number four.
Suspend disbelief.
In other words, people are thinking right now about this point, well, you know, some of this sounds reasonable, Mac, but I don't know if I can buy into it totally. You know what I say? Don't. You don't have to believe anything that I'm telling you. Just temporarily suspend your disbelief. If it'll make it easier, don't believe anything for a while. But I want you to cultivate a mental readiness for anything to happen. Okay? A quantum leap cannot happen if your mind is flawed with skepticism and disbelief and doubt. And here's the key. These doubts that you have, this is not the product of accurate thinking. As I said earlier, this is more the product of habitual thinking, the way that you've been thinking for a long time. And as we've said so many times, Zach, you can't change your thinking.
With your own thinking. The way that you're thinking.
We got to change your thinking before we can even change your thinking to something else. And that's what this whole process is about, changing your thinking so I can set you up for a quantum leap. Got to change your thinking. All right. One sure way to suspend your disbelief is to do this. Get a clear mental image of your goal as if you've already accomplished it. Imagine how it's going to feel, look, sound, and smell once you get it. I use this technique with all the top athletes that I train. Now, as you view the results of achieving your goal, in your mind, your brain will be working to accept this image instead of the one that you have been using before that you created with your limited beliefs, that you created with mental junk from others, that you accepted as truth as your reality. It's going to accept that instead. Now, number five.
Embrace change.
Embrace change. Now, very key phrase there. Not tolerate change. What did you say, Natasha?
Embrace.
What does that mean, Zach? Embrace.
Just, you know, welcome it. Don't be fearful of it.
I mean, when you think of an embrace, what do you see? When I say the word embrace, what picture comes to your mind?
Wrapping your arms around
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Stop right there. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. That's what you See, when you say a word, that word conjures up an image. The beauty of the human mind, it conjures up an image. Embrace, you wrap your arms around it. So you're not just tolerating change, you're wrapping your arms around it. You are embracing it. You're bringing it close to your bosom, to your chest. You are wrapping it up. You love it. Yeah. Yeah. Now, most people assume that change will always represent something bad or worse for them in the future than it was already. Even if what you have is not working, you say, well, it's not working, but it's my not working. I'm familiar with this not working. I'd rather have my not working that I'm familiar with than another form of not working that I don't know about. And so they'll just stay there. I call that having faith in the familiar, even though it's not working. And one of the reasons that I'm asked to do professional speeches to Fortune 500 companies is because these CEOs and company presidents want to take their middle management people who are very comfortable, who are making good livings, taking care of their families. But the company is not getting full value out of all their experience. They need them to move up. They need them to contribute more with their experience at a higher level. But in order to do this, we've got to make them unafraid of change. And that's the number one reason. I ask the person who hires me for a speech two questions all the time. The number one question I'll say is, what do you want your people to be thinking of when they walk out the door after I finish? And they all say the same thing. Let me think about that for a minute. And then I asked them, why do you want to hire me to do this speech? So you might say, those are similar things, but not the same. I'm asking, what do you want them to be thinking? What do you want going on in their mind as they walk out the door? What do you want them to be replaying? And then I want to know, why did they, in their heart of hearts, hire me to do this job? And I get that answer more than any other, almost 99% of the time. I'm trying to get people to accept change. I want them to step out of their comfort zone. I want more from them. This is what I wrote about it. One of the reasons I'm asked to give motivational speeches for large corporations is that one major dilemma of modern business is to get people to blast out of their ruts, out of their comfort zone. Management wants their employees to take on the challenge of change. Management wants their people to hone their skills in the face of competition and to move to higher levels of management. The best paid managers and employees of tomorrow are those who are going to embrace change today. Okay. Number 6. Leap before you look. I told you we'd get there. Leap before you look. This is a new one. Number 6 is leap before you look. I think that most people can be found flying far too close to the ground. I mean, it's like we don't give ourselves permission to really soar. I mean, permission to really be great. Sometimes, I remember I was training a golfer once, and I said, you have to give your, when you stand over that putt, you've got to say, I give myself permission to make this putt. And the first time he came back, he says, Mac, the first time I did that, it was amazing the change it had over me in that moment. I actually said it to myself, so no one else could hear it. I said, I'm going to give you permission to make this putt. And he just stroked it. Yeah. We don't give ourselves permission to be great. We don't give ourselves permission to be fabulous. It's time now to start focusing on your possibilities rather than on what you perceive your limitations to be or what you perceive your obstacles may be. Making a quantum leap or developing quantum thinking means moving outside of your current mental boundaries. If you will rethink how you're thinking, now I can multiply your performance potential instead of just adding to it. Seeking the quantum leap means violating the boundary of the probable. It means you will achieve well beyond the obvious. So don't limit your desires to what you think you can have. I want you to go after what you want. This means, make sure you write this down, this means you must give yourself permission to dream, take risks, and above all, you must give yourself permission to be successful. And that is, in essence, setting yourself free. Remember I said earlier that three-letter paragraph, Zach? Remember I spelled it for you? What was it?
Act.
Act. A-C-T. Make your move before you're ready. This is step number 6. Make leap before you look. Don't get so wrapped up in all the preparation. We've already done that. Remember back when we talked about, you know, quit trying harder? And I told you about the three things we need to do. Number one was to Number two was research. Research. Number one was thinking through all the possibilities. And number three was ask for an answer. Expect a breakthrough. Those were the three things. Okay, now. So even though I'm telling you to leap before you look, actually, you've already prepared for this leap. You're not leaping blind, actually. You're just simply not doing what you normally do, which is to postpone the leap at this point, which is to pretend you're not ready yet. Zach, are you following me here?
Yeah, I was going to say, this is great stuff.
Okay. Which is, normally at this point, we back off and say, okay, I got to cross all my T's. I'm just not ready yet. But basically what you're doing now is responding to the fear, see? This is just old thinking rearing its head up again, see? It's just old thinking.
Just always getting ready instead of just going for it.
Now it's time to act. A-C-T. A-C-T. Don't get so wrapped up in this preparation, forming the perfect plan. And so many people do that, and you know what happens? They remain motionless. They actually are doing nothing. A person can make a career out of laying the groundwork. Getting ready is often nothing more than just a stalling tactic that you're playing out on yourself. I'm almost ready. I'll be ready next week in a little bit. I'm working on it. I hate when I hear this. I'm working on it. What? Even if people who build a house and are actually working on it, they don't even wait to get started. You know what? Those plans that they have, call any builder you want. See if you can find 1 in 100 that tells you he built the house exactly like the plans were that he got when he first started. That was just something to get him started. What he ended up with was nothing like the original plans. This was just permission to get started. So if you're going to wait till you get the perfect plan, you're never going to move. And now you're springing the trap on yourself. You said it, and then you sprung it. You don't need to know at the beginning how you're going to get there, but you need to know where you want to go. You need to rivet your mind's attention on your landing point. Now, What's the crucial element right here? The crucial element right here is mobility. You'll discover, as I did, that you know a lot more than you thought you did. Once you set yourself in motion, you got to get started. And then you will actually magnetize the people and the circumstances to you that you need. Wow. I love this. Okay, how many we got so far, Natasha? Is this number 6?
I got 6.
Okay. Now, you know what? I think I've got, let's see, 7. We got number 7 and 8. But you know what, though? I think between 9 and then, I'm going to sit down and write a couple more for you. I like to be spontaneous. I got more stuff. I guarantee I'm going to have more than the 8. That's all for this week, though, gang. Wow, I love that. If you got a question for me, you got a comment you want to make, send it to me at 7, SEVEN, at MacNewton.com. You'll reach me right here at my desk. We're listening to, you know, Vanessa Williams. You didn't know. Vanessa L. Williams, you didn't know before today. Just part of your musical education. Just, that's what I do. She's right here. As we always say at this point in time, gang, I want you to be good to yourselves. Be good to you. And be good to those who rely on you and those who love you and those you love. Save your best behavior for family. I mean, so many people say, oh, I'm going to put on your best behavior for a stranger. Why? They're strangers. Okay. I want to say the best behavior for those that love me. You know, those that love me. And you know how I spell love? T-I-M-E. I don't care what people try to give me or what they say. If they're not willing to spend some T-I-M-E with me, they don't L-O-V-E me. That's how children spell it. You know what? And in that regard, I'll probably never grow up. So be true to yourselves, gang, which means basically let your words and your behaviors match. Let your thoughts and your actions jive. I want to thank Bob Adlock. Sorry about the playoffs with the Suns, Bob. There's always next year, buddy. Pat McMahon, always great to see you on TV. You're looking good, buddy. You never grow old. JC, we're going to get together soon. JB, still miss you, brother. Zach, the magic man behind the glass. Magic as usual. And the fabulous Natasha. Tune in next week, gang. You'll be able to see all of us, live and in living color. Hey, gang, I'm Mac Newton. Peace. 3, 2, 1. I am out. Stronger than your love.